In my country, we pronounce the name Isaiah. When the Portland Convention Committee invited me to speak to you on the subject of restitution, I was quite surprised. You see, it's a word that I never used. So why me? Why not invite some of those other prophets to come and speak on this topic? So I went and checked their writings, and now I understand why they didn't invite them. They didn't use the word either. Well, why do you Bible students think so highly of a word that none of the ancient prophets used? Well, probably because of the Apostle Peter. When he addressed a large crowd on the day of Pentecost, he said in Acts 3, 20 and 21, "He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." There's your favorite word, restitution. Enjoy it. It's the only place you'll find it in the New Testament. Yet, if Peter says that restitution is something that all the prophets spoke about, I must be included. Now, in all modesty, I'm going to have to tell you that there are more quotations from my scroll in the New Testament than from the writings of, really, any of the other prophets. So surely, I would be included. Now, the Greek word that Peter used means a reestablishment from a state of ruin. Now, I certainly wrote about that subject. My prophecies took place over a period of 40 years during the reign of several kings. During my life, I foresaw the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel, and especially to the Assyrians. Now, it's true that the southern kingdom of Judah was spared, but that sparing was only temporary. A little over 100 years after the fall of the northern kingdom of Israel, the Babylonians were used by God to execute judgment upon Judah. We prophets, Ezekiel told you this already, we have a thankless job. We were always sent at the 11th hour to stop the people's headlong rush to destruction, to warn them about judgment, to call them back to God in repentance. Oh, of course, they never listened. When the punishment inevitably came, the people sank to the very depths of despair. Well, then it was our job to reassure them of God's continuing love toward them. That message they liked. Now, I personally experienced a reestablishment from a state of ruin. And I described it in chapter 6 of my scroll. And there I tell about the vision of God and how sinful and unworthy I and my nation were in his sight. But God had mercy on me and he cleansed me. He made it possible for me to be used in his service. I experienced a kind of restitution and it affected my entire life. Now, although I don't use the word restitution, I do use the word restore. Isaiah 1, 25, 26. "I will turn my hand upon thee, I will purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as at the first." Now, in the Hebrew language, my preferred language, by the way, the word that you know as restore means to turn back, to turn around. It's not just something that God does for man. Man has a responsibility to repent and to return to God, to turn from evil and to do good. Those who do not will not receive the blessings that God wants to give them. Now, your English language translators used a different word for this same Hebrew word in Isaiah 35:10. And we read, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return," same Hebrew word, different English, "and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." The word return comes from the same Hebrew word rendered restore. And it certainly qualifies as far as what you would term restitution. Many figures of speech that I used in my scroll were picked up by others in New Testament times. Notice the words of Isaiah 65, verse 17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former shall not be remembered and come into mind." Sound familiar? Should. Peter used similar words in 2 Peter 3, and John liked them too. He used them in Revelation 21. "Now the people of my nation always viewed themselves as having a special relationship with God, based on the covenant that he made through Moses. Because they knew their enemies had no relationship with God, they probably never even heard me when I included all the Gentiles in the group who, like them, would be rescued from a state of ruin." Notice Isaiah 66. The verses are 22 and 23. "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that," now here's what they never heard, "all flesh shall come to worship before me, saith the Lord." One of the best loved verses in my scroll is a wonderful vision of the restored state of mankind in the kingdom. The words are from Isaiah 11, verses 9 and 10. And it says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people." And now notice, "to it shall the Gentiles seek." They never heard that either. And yet, they should have. For it has always been God's plan to bless all the families of the earth. That was, after all, what he said originally to Father Abraham. You have it in Genesis 12:3. But somehow my people conveniently forgot about all that. They expected God to bless them and condemn everybody else. Restitution makes sense only if those who have lived and died are brought back to life. Now, I understand that some of your theologians debate whether we ancient prophets really believed in a resurrection or not. Of course we did. How else can you have restitution? Notice the words of Isaiah 26:19. "Thy dead shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Now, there's so much more that I could say on this topic, but our chairman understands what time it is. And so, in closing, let me simply remind you how favored you are. Like me, in my day, you have received a vision of God. You saw how sinful and unworthy you were, and your nation too. But God has had mercy upon you and cleansed you. He has made it possible for you to be used in His service. You have been restored. Let it affect your entire life as it has affected mine. In Luke, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 17, there is an incident when Jesus was in the synagogue, the town of Nazareth. And we read Luke 4:17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach an acceptable year of the Lord.'" And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." May you, who have received the Spirit of the Lord, take inspiration from these words and go forth strong